you're probably struggling in your relationship with Allah because you've only ever had a formal one with Him.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Hello everybody, welcome to Embracing Rahma. My name is Fatima and I am your host. And I know it's been about 3 weeks since I last posted, so thank you all so much for being patient with me. Because honestly, y'all could have just skedaddled, but y'all didn't, y'all waited for your girl. And I appreciate it because alhamdulillah, I was able to prepare for Ramadan and prepare an amazing set of videos for you all to drop this month. You know, today's video, I really wanted to talk more about how you can have a better relationship with Allah. By the end of today's video, you are going to be feeling confident and knowing that you can have a much stronger relationship with Allah, and it doesn't have to just be formal. And I know you're probably wondering, what does that mean? What does that mean? What does that look like? I got you. I'm gonna explain to you, what is a formal relationship with Allah? What is an informal one? How do you balance the two? Because y'all know Islam is the deen of balance. I want to start off by talking about how there's this common perception that you must only have a formal relationship with Allah. And example of that means like salah, and how in a lot of ways we're subconsciously taught that, you know, that that's one of the only ways that you can access Allah, when in fact, y'all, it is not true. It's the furthest thing from the truth, because we see all the time over and over again in the Quran and in the Sunnah, like different times where the messengers and the prophets and stuff, and not even just them, like even Maryam, may Allah be pleased with her, and several other figures who are not prophets or messengers, are really showing us, you know, that you don't need to just access Allah through these formal means. I want to preface this by also mentioning like how amazing it feels when you are in desperate need of help with something and you ask somebody for that help and the help comes through and they stand up to the occasion and really just show up for you. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. Y'all know how good that feeling is. That is what Allah offers us in closeness with Him, literally. Like, Allah is the one who will never let you down ever in your entire life, but you have to truly believe that that is the reality, right? But I know this is something that is going to resonate with a lot of you, is only accessing Allah through formal means affecting your relationship with Him and the depth of the relationship that you could possibly have with Him. Because I think we need to remember that at the end of the day, the relationship that you have with Allah is unlike anything else. Unlike anything else. Allah is the one being who knows you inside and out, who's known every single thought that you were ever going to have in your entire life, who knows every single thing that you've ever been through before you've even been through it, before you've even learned the lessons that you needed to learn from the things that you were going to go through. Allah is fully aware of all of that. And so I want us to take that into consideration, and when we're thinking about only accessing Allah through formal means and not just, you know, not just laying back and having a conversation with Him. I'm not saying forget the formal means of accessing Allah, because those are prescribed to us, right? Like, we're taught to make salah, we're taught to make dhikr. I'm not saying let go of any of that. We just gotta balance it out. I'll give you guys some tips on how you can, you know, we can take examples from the Quran and Sunnah to essentially implement that into our lives, so that in 2024, we can elevate our relationships with Allah and really just become the best servant of Allah that we can be. I want to start off by talking about the importance of vulnerability with Allah. The more vulnerable you are with Allah, the more trust that you have in Him, and the more you get out of your relationship with Allah. I think, you know, it's really easy to get caught up in the fact that we're in this dunya and we're going through the ins and the outs and the days and the nights and whatever, you know, the things that happen in this dunya. You know, it's really easy to forget that we're not going to be here forever, and that the time that we've spent in this dunya, the only thing we're going to be taking with us is our deeds, right? That's it. Nothing else leaves with us but our deeds. And so there's a hadith Qudsi where Allah essentially tells us that He is to His servant what His servant expects and thinks of Him. And so that is, I think, you know, a really good place for us to start on thinking about, like, how can we better our relationships with Allah? Number one, it starts with just thinking good about Allah, because He is going to be for you what He says, what you think of Him. If you think Allah is a merciful Allah, you think Allah is a all-loving and all-compassionate one, you think Allah is one who is just, who is nurturing, who is nourishing, who will provide for you regardless of your situation, that is who Allah is going to be to you. If you think that Allah is a Allah who is unfair, unjust,
is putting you things to just punish you, then that's the entire lens of how you're going to see the world. You feel me? That's how you're going to see everything that you've ever gone through. There's a reason why two different people can be going through the same thing and they come out of it very differently, because their perception of what they're going through, their perception of Allah, or their lack of perception of Allah. We need to start essentially working on our perception of Allah and whatnot. And really remembering that at the end of the day, every single thing that we go through is a means for us to remember him. And so, you know, for example, other day I was on the phone with my best friend and it started thundering so incredibly loudly. Like the way that it had thundered, it was so booming and boisterous that it filled the entire sky. Like I'm sure from one horizon to the next, the sound couldn't have been heard, like all across. It was so loud and so scary. And I thought to myself, I was like, SubhanAllah, you know, that thunder is something else. Like it really makes you think about how, like, you know, the trumpets are gonna sound and this world is going to end. At the end of the day, every single thing that we go through is a means for us to remember him. And so as we're talking about, you know, the importance of vulnerability with Allah and how it can benefit your life, I want to talk about the story of Adam. May Allah be pleased with our father. Because y'all, when I was reading the story of Adam in the Quran, SubhanAllah, I was really blown away. Especially after he had eaten from the tree that he wasn't supposed to eat. And then Allah proceeds to tell us in Surah Baqarah that, you know, Adam essentially felt bad, and so as a result Allah teaches him words of repentance so that Adam can turn back to Allah. So I want to read to you all the translation. It's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. It says, "Then Adam learned words of repentance from his Lord, and he turned towards him in forgiveness, for he's the acceptor of repentance, the merciful." It's the 37th ayah in Surah Baqarah. And so one thing that I really want to focus on here is the word that Allah uses to describe this act of essentially teaching Adam how to repent to Allah. He uses the word batalaqa. And y'all, when I tell you, SubhanAllah, like, this word is such a beautiful word and it has so much depth to it. It basically means that, you know, because he saw that Adam felt bad about what he did, Allah brought him closer to him as a result, and he taught him words of repentance. It's like Adam didn't repent because that's the kind of person that Adam was. Adam repented because Allah inspired that in him. And it really just makes you think, SubhanAllah, like, you know, it really takes the idea of being grateful for guidance to the next level, because you would not be guided if Allah did not want you to be guided, if Allah did not see something good in you, if Allah did not want something good for you. And that's all because of who Allah is. And y'all, like, I really want us to take a moment and reflect on that, because how profound is it that Allah teaches us here that Adam repented because Allah wanted him to repent because he saw something good in him. And it doesn't mean that Adam just accepted these words passively. It was a very active effort on Adam's behalf. Adam was ready to receive these words of repentance and to repent to his Lord. And I think that says a lot about the depth to which his vulnerability and allowing himself to be vulnerable in the sight of Allah did nothing but benefit him. Yes, he did something that Allah frowned upon. Allah basically gave him one job and he didn't do it, but Allah is merciful and he gave him a chance to come correct. And what did Adam do? He felt bad, so he came correct. The beauty of being vulnerable in the sight of Allah when it comes to this story with Adam is that because Adam allowed himself to be vulnerable in front of Allah, Allah guided him. That's something that I want y'all to take into your daily lives, especially as you know, you're making time to reflect, which if you are not making time to actively reflect, baby girl, go get your calendars out. Put a time, 30 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, 15, even if it's just 5 minutes a day, make some time in your day to reflect, inshallah. And think about how you can better your relationship with Allah. How can you allow yourself to be more vulnerable in the sight of Allah? Because if you really think about it, like, the scene that we hear with Adam is the complete opposite of what we saw with Iblis. Like, with Iblis, what did he do? He started feeling anger and arrogance and envy towards Adam. And then he blames Allah for what he did. Shaitan literally blames Allah for his actions, which is so wild to me, because really, like, if we don't allow ourselves to be vulnerable, we are stripping ourselves of the ability to be self-aware and introspective. Iblis put up the wall for himself. Like, he didn't put the wall up for himself. He was like, you know what? Me, I'm better than him. Look at what I'm made of. I'm better than him. So yes, I am going against you, but it's your fault. You made me like this. Like, it's your fault, Allah. The creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of everything in existence, is your fault. That I don't know. He missed the plot, y'all. He missed the plot. Another thing that I wanted to point out in this story with Adam is that it really shows initiative from Allah, really, like, to guide Adam. And honestly, y'all, it really just shows that Allah does not lie. Allah does not lie, nor is he going to leave you by yourself, nor is he going to leave you without guidance. If you want good from him, expect it from him, and he's going to come to you with sincerity and with all the beautiful blessings. This scene really shows us that Allah's guidance is always available to us. Always. So I don't care what you got going on in your life. I don't care if you just committed a sin that you feel like you cannot repent from, that you will never be forgiven for. I don't care if you didn't pray since last year. I don't care if you haven't even said astaghfirullah since you were little. I don't care about none of that. And Allah just wants you to take one step closer to him, because his guidance is always ready. He's not like a human where he's gonna hold it against you if you mess up on the same thing over and over again, but have sincere intentions to get better. Sincere, right? Honestly, the scene with Adam also shows us a beautiful guide for repentance and how vulnerability is at the root of that. When you do not allow yourself to be vulnerable, you cannot allow yourself to be open to actually addressing the issues in your life. You cannot allow yourself to actually be open to accepting the remedy for those issues. And so what does this teach us? It teaches us that, number one, we should recognize our mistakes. Number two, genuinely feel sorry. Number three, seek Allah's guidance. Number four, take sincere steps to making it right. That's it. Another benefit of honestly just having vulnerability with Allah is that it allows you an emotional release that you can't get from anywhere else. Emotional release in the sense that of just all-encompassing comfort that you experience when you allow yourself to be vulnerable in the eyes of the one who created your soul and everything in existence is really unmatched. It comes with spiritual healing, and sometimes it also comes with physical healing, right? Because we already know, like, stress can literally cause disease. What do we think the opposite of stress can do? You know, it can be very, very healing for you. That is why placebos have a great effect on people. And then another thing is it just builds your reliance upon Allah. It really builds your relationship with him, because then the more you allow yourself to be vulnerable and move accordingly to that vulnerability and just wanting to be nearer to Allah, is that it really strengthens your bond with him. Think about the people that you love the most in your life. Like, how vulnerable are you with them? Do you feel comfort with them when you're around them? Do you feel like you can trust them? Are these people who, you know, you feel like you can go up to them and you can talk to them about a lot of different things that you probably wouldn't talk to a stranger about? You could do all of that with Allah. Allah knows you better than anyone will ever know you, to be honest, and even yourself. So now I want to get to the portion of how do we cultivate an informal relationship with Allah. We're already explicitly taught, you know, how to have a formal relationship with Allah, but now I want to talk about how can you cultivate an informal one with him. Number one, baby girl, you gotta make dua with your own words. You can use the words of those who came before us as beautiful examples. I know I do, but I also like to mix it in, okay? I'm talking, like, for example, I think it was like last week I was going through something, and I ain't gonna lie to y'all, it was pretty tough, subhanAllah. And I just remember thinking to myself, ya Allah, like, I know you know what I'm going through right now in these moments. This is not easy for me. And I was telling Allah, you know, I really need your help, ya Allah. Like, there's no one else that I can turn to in these moments. You're the only one who's going to understand what I'm going through. You're the only one who knows everything that led up to this moment. You're the only one who knows what the ultimate outcome is going to be. I don't even know what the best thing to do in this situation for myself is. You do, and I need your help, and I know your help is going to come to me. Teach me what I need to learn from this. Give me a sense of clarity so that I can understand what I need to do in my life. And y'all, subhanAllah, when I tell you that, it, like, the nighttime didn't even reach before I knew what I needed to do. And when I tell y'all that nighttime didn't even come before I realized, subhanAllah, like, Allah showed me what I needed to do. He really showed me, because I had a conversation with someone and it just clicked for me. But we have to be willing and honest and vulnerable with ourselves in front of the eyes of Allah to talk to him in those moments where we need him. Even though you cannot hear the voice of Allah, Allah will inspire you. Allah will put things in front of you. Allah will put resources in front of you that will change your entire life. He might have a conversation happen between you and someone else. He might have you see something on social media. You might be reading the Quran and then Allah makes an epiphany occur for you because of something that you've read. The second thing I want to talk about is reflecting daily. I think I mentioned already earlier, I don't care if you're taking a couple minutes, 10 minutes, 15, 20, 30 minutes, make time in your day to reflect and think about how can you make yourself better for the sake of Allah. In Arabic, it's called tafakkur. It's basically the concept of making time to reflect. I think I told you this in the last episode with embracing Rahmah, is even the Prophet ﷺ did it, like made time to go to the cave and really just reflect, get away from all the distractions. If we are not actively making time for this, we are going to struggle in our lives because we are going to be experiencing the same issues over and over and over again and not understanding why we're not getting past it. You know what I mean? Make time to reflect on your feelings. Maybe you need to talk to Allah about it. Maybe you need to write it down. Maybe you need to record a voice note of yourself. Maybe you need to just go outside and put your feet in the grass and be at one in nature and see all the wonders, you know, that Allah has created in this universe. Think about whichever way you're able to implement the daily reflections into your life and go ahead and do it, inshallah. The third thing that I wanted to mention, engaging with the Quran personally. If you are not already making time to actively listen to and reflect on the Quran, you are doing yourself a disservice and you are severely missing out, okay? I don't like telling people that they're missing out on stuff like that because really there's not many things that you need in this dunya. But when it comes to the words of our Creator, if you're not actively tapping into that, you're missing out. So make some time. Even if it's just after, for example, Maghrib prayer, or maybe it's after Fajr prayer, or maybe it's on the train on your way to school or work or whatever, and you're listening to a tafsir, okay? A lecture, whatever. Make some time to engage with the Quran personally. This is going to transform your relationship with Allah. For example, this is the 93rd surah in the Quran, and Allah revealed the ayahs after the Prophet ﷺ didn't receive any revelation. There's literally even a name for that period of time. He was sad, he was down, he was vulnerable, and he felt like, well, am I even a messenger? Am I even a prophet? Like, just really down in the dumps. And then Allah is so kind and so sweet to him. I want to read y'all the translation of it real quick. The translation reads, "By the morning sunlight and the night when it falls still, your Lord, O Prophet, has not abandoned you, nor has he become hateful of you. And the next life is certainly far better for you than this one. And surely your Lord will give so much to you that you will be pleased. Did he not find you as an orphan and then shelter you? Did he not find you unguided and then guide you? And did he not find you needy then satisfy your needs? So do not oppress the orphan, nor repulse the beggar, and proclaim the blessings of your Lord." Imagine how he felt, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He was going through it, y'all. He was so sad and uncomfortable and just hurt. He was questioning his worth. Imagine this man that we love so much and that we adore and we look up to so much going through this, and then Allah revealing these verses for him. Like, Allah shows us even the Prophet ﷺ had a degree of vulnerability with him, and that is a really beautiful example of how we can engage with the Quran personally. Think about how that could apply to your life. Maybe you were going through something in your life that was really difficult for you, and then because you made time to personally engage with the Quran and reflect on it, these verses have a new meaning for you. And these verses can be a source of strength for you when you are going through things in the future. Because then you're like, hold up, even the Prophet ﷺ was going through it. And then Allah revealed these verses for him. But then it's like, are they just for him? No, they're for us too. Like, they are literally gifts to you too. And I want you to think about the fact that the entire Quran is really a gift for us. Allah is well aware of every single person who's ever going to read the Quran in the entire history of mankind. When he revealed something for the Prophet ﷺ, it wasn't just for his people, it was also for us too. The next thing I wanted to talk about is the importance of practicing mindfulness in your worship. It kind of relates to a lot of the other things that I already mentioned, but I'm talking about, like, for example, maybe you're memorizing a new surah. Instead of just reciting words that have no meaning to you, like that you are not connecting to, look up the translation and try to really connect with what you are reading in advance, so that when you're in salah, you're sitting there and you're reciting and you're thinking about the meaning of what you're reciting. Even if you don't know word for word, at least you have a good idea of what the surah is about, what the set of verses are about. And that can help you exponentially in your relationship with Allah and being vulnerable with him and really just like allowing your heart to be present to accepting his guidance. So with that being said, that pretty much sums up today's episode, inshallah. With that being said, I want to remind y'all, you know, to make sure that in your daily lives, inshallah, you are doing your best to allow yourself to be vulnerable to Allah and see how it affects your life. Let me know the impact that this has on y'all. I hope that, inshallah, today's episode really expressed to you all the importance of really allowing yourself to build an informal relationship with Allah and the benefit that it can have on your life. There's no other relationship that will ever exist like the kind between you and your Lord. Thank you so much for tuning in and really just supporting me, y'all. I'm always blown away by y'all's support. I hope that your Ramadan is going amazing. Ramadan Mubarak. I pray that you leave this month better than you entered it. And I pray that this month is a beautiful month of reflection on the words of your creator, the creator of your soul, the maker of everything in existence, in spite of the fact that people deny it. Okay? People's denial does not change the truth. So, I love you all for the sake of Allah. I'll see you next Saturday. If you want to connect with me off of YouTube, I'm very active on Instagram, especially on my stories. I love when my girls connect with me on there. I love you all for the sake of Allah. Let me know if there are any videos that y'all want me to make. With that being said, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.